You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Welcome to Siena and Cypress and downtown and Digital Family as well and the Loop campus. We are so excited on this Mother's Day. And we want you to know we're going to be in James chapter 5. If you got your Bible, you can turn to James chapter 5. And we also know on this Mother's Day, there is celebration and there's also grief. There's waiting. And so wherever you are in your journey on this Mother's Day, we want you to know that you're loved and that you are here. And we're so glad that you are able to connect. I've got a message for you that, yes, is a Mother's Day message, but is also a message for all of us. As we're going to see four times in this passage of scripture, it's going to say brothers and sisters. So this is for the kids. This is for the guys. This is for the ladies. This is all of us. So whether you are a biological mom, a spiritual mom, an adopted mom, foster mom, stepmom, whatever it is, that God can speak to all of our hearts and dads as well and men as well. So we're going to be in James chapter 5. Now, ladies, no pressure here on this Mother's Day. James's mom was Mary. How about that? So no pressure. We got Mary. She had Jesus, obviously, we know was her firstborn, and that was with God the Father as the Father, the Virgin Mary. And then Mary and Joseph then had other children later. And so that's an aspect here where we have Jesus's half-brother is James. So James, ladies, no pressure, is speaking on Mother's Day here with his mom being Mary. But I think it's going to be okay. We're going to turn it out okay, just fine. And we're going to look and we're going to see four T-shirts that we should all be wearing, okay? Four T-shirts that we should be wearing from the book of James. And I've got really two goals today. Number one is to glorify God. And number two is to get you to lunch before you start looking at your watch or something like that. Too much, all right? So I know, I understand what today is. I got it. So we're going to look in James chapter 5, and I want you to see a couple of things here. We're going to look and we're going to see in verse 7 and 8, I want you to see brothers and sisters as we start. And I want you to see how many times the word patient is used. Ready? Here we go. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the Father waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the early and late rains. You must also be patient. Strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near. So here we have this word patience that's going through this verses of scripture here four times. And we're going to see that this is the word patience with people is what this Greek word is. Later on, we're going to see patience twice. That's going to be translated as endurance probably in your Bible. And that's patience with problems. So this first one is patience with people. Brothers and sisters, we need patience. So our first shirt here to get going here on Mom's Day here, Mother's Day, is this. This is the first shirt from the Mom's T-shirt closet. Thou shall not try me. Mom 24:7, all right? Now, this is not a real book of the Bible, but this is true. You need to look out for this. Chapter 24, verse 7, Mom has had it up to here. Her patience is worn thin, and so she's going to be wearing this shirt saying, thou shall not try me. That's the first thing. What our shirt should say, and we could all wear that shirt, our shirt should say this, patience is paramount. Patience is paramount. Patience is so key in our life. It's key in every relationship. It's key with your parents. It's key with your kids. It's key with your siblings. It's key with your husband, with your wife, with your employees, with your employer, with your coworkers, with your teachers, with your coaches. Patience is key. And he begins here and he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, verse 7, be patient. It's meaning patient with people and patient in life until the Lord's coming. Waiting on God gives us the fortitude to wait in life. Waiting on God gives us the fortitude to wait in life. There's going to be lots of waiting in your life. There's going to be lots of waiting in my life. Some of you might be waiting on something really important right now. There's going to be a lot of that in your life. And so he begins and he says, now the first thing we're waiting on as believers is we're waiting on Jesus Christ to return. Do you know he's coming back? Jesus is going to return to planet Earth. And so the return of Christ, he's saying to the people in biblical times, keep waiting. Patience is forming. This is good for you. He's saying to us as well, we're still waiting. Now, let me tell you what. I can't tell you the date on which Jesus is returning, but I can tell you something. You ready? It's closer today than it was yesterday. How about that? He's coming, and we know it's a day closer than it was yesterday. So our patience of waiting on God gives us the patience and the fortitude to wait on the things of life. So he jumps in and he says, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient until he receives the early and late rains. We wait on his return, but we also wait on his provision. So they're waiting in an agrarian society where you grow your food to eat. You don't go to the grocery store and get your food. You got to grow it. You got to kill it. You got to have it come up out of the ground. And so in that society, they said, you're a farmer and you got to wait for the early and the late rains. What would happen is they would plant a seed right at the timing that then the spring rains would come. Those rains would come right after the planting. And then they would wait and go later on, and the late rains would then rain, would come, and they would rain right before the harvest. So it'd actually be that they would plant like in October, November, and then in the spring would be the late rains. So I got them confused. But the early rains and then the late rains at the planting, there's water needed. And at the harvest, there's water needed. And what we need in our lives is to wait on the provision of God. Let me just give you a little secret things in your spiritual journey. God moves in seasons, not in seconds. We want God to move in seconds. And sometimes he does, of course. But God typically moves in seasons. And so what you have to do as a maturing believer, you have to realize that there's a time of fall and you feel like you're losing things. Well, that's okay, because John 15 verse 1 says, every branch that is fruitful, I prune so that it can become more fruitful. So there's a falling off of things in the fall. Then there's a wintering in the winter time that it's cold. But that's okay. Though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, the Lord is with me, so I can make it through that time of that winter. And then there's a spring that begins to pop up, and that's awesome. That's great. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And then there's a summer where the heat comes, and there's seasons in our lives, and we want God to move in seasons, or excuse me, in seconds, when he typically moves in seasons. See, you and I are spiritual farmers. We're cultivating our souls to be what God wants and to allow that to happen. And waiting is a tool of God in our lives. It's a tool of God. There's a book I'll recommend to you called Six Seasons of Calling. And it takes your life and it breaks it up into 12 years, and each one is a season. You can write that down, order it later, make it your summer read. Six Seasons of Calling. Dr. Wiersbe put it like this: there are seasons to the spiritual life, just as there are seasons to the soil. Sometimes our hearts become cold and wintry, and the Lord has to plow them up before he can plant the seed. He sends sunshine and rain of his goodness to water and nurture the seeds planted, but we must be patient to wait for the harvest. You know, all throughout the scriptures, there's planting, watering, and harvesting, and we want it microwave, don't we? We want it quick. We want it Amazon Prime is what we want. Tomorrow, what do you mean? I need it this afternoon. We want DoorDash. We want it right now. We want instantaneous, text it to me. Don't even send me a letter. I want to know right now, instantaneous. And that begins to mess with our hearts and our lives. Let me give you this phrase: the cumulative effect. There's a cumulative effect to waiting on God and walking with God over a long period of time. A cumulative effect. So someone says, well, which quiet time, which time that you spent alone with the Lord, which one is the one that changed your life? Here's what I say: yes, all of them. Which time at church was the one that really shaped your life? And you could look at the time you were saved or you were baptized. Which time when you came to church really changed your life? Yes. There's a cumulative effect of walking in the pages of Scripture and walking with the people of God that we look and we say, I can't tell you the day, but I can tell you I'm different because of many, many days. But we won't hang on for the cumulative effect. You know the word I'm trying to say. Getting that out. To be able to have that, to get that long walk in the same direction. And then what happens is this: patience with God will then bring patience with people. Brothers and sisters, be patient See how the farmer is. See how you're waiting on the Lord. You must also be patient and strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near. You're going to need patience with your children. You're going to need patience with your parents. I know right now, students, you think you can do anything and you're like, hey, I'm in fourth grade. Why can't I stay out till 2 a.m.? There's nothing wrong. I can do that. No, you're going to have to wait a little bit. I can drive. I'm good on my bike. No, you have to wait a little bit. You have to wait a little bit. There's all these things we got to wait on because maturity happens in our lives. And so your parents aren't bad people for making you wait. They're actually good people for making you wait. Patient with your parents, patient with your kids, patient with dads, with moms, with husbands, with wives, with guys, with girls, and patient with all the things that we go through. Let me show you a quote from a guy named John Eldridge. He typically has written books towards men, but I think this is a quote we can all get a lot out of. And I want you to see it. We're going to put it on the screen as I read it to you. For one thing, the internet has discipled your soul. Let's just stop right there. To expect immediate answers. You inquire and are answered immediately. 3 million results in 0.0003 seconds. There is no waiting. The saints of the ages past would have been aghast at that. Waiting was considered formational to the soul. They planted crops in the spring and harvested in the fall. And there was no rushing of things. But now when you turn to Jesus, you are not answered in the way the internet answers. You feel he isn't listening to you and that you can't hear from him. You sadly believe the two of you are distant from one another because your soul has been programmed for immediate responses. Listen to this last statement. The notion of lingering before God does not fit with the pace we've come to expect. Whew, that's convicting, isn't it? Lingering before God. Do an exercise a little bit this week. Just sit and watch how you want to grab your phone or grab some screen. And just sit. Try to sit for 5 minutes and it'll drive you crazy. And so we don't linger and we don't sit with God. So we're not patient people and we're not patient. Here's my point. We're not patient with God. We're not patient with others because our patience with God is what cultivates our patience with others. Our second t-shirt is found in verse 9. Brothers and sisters, it's not just a Mother's Day message. It's for all of us. Brothers and sisters, don't complain about one another. So that you will not be judged. Look, the judge stands at the door. So our next t-shirt here, we have here on our mom's t-shirt gift rack that we have here, talking about complaining is what we're talking about. This is a t-shirt. I think this one's cute. Here's what it says. It says, I childproofed my house, but they still get in. That again? I childproofed my house, but they still get in. Now, this one here, thou shalt not try me, that's an obvious one that's kind of like, okay, that's a lack of patience. This one is a lack of understanding. Don't you know that kids are messy? That cute little baby's going to keep you all night, keep you awake, and you're going to change some terrible diapers along the way. There's going to be, as they're looking for their independence, some talk back. There's going to be a lot of activities. You're going to run around and you're going to be busy, busy, busy going all different places. We've childproofed our house, but they still get in. That's a statement of just kind of some humor there. But to be able to say that and to understand that and to say that's a place where we just don't understand that kids take a lot of effort. They take a lot of effort and for us to be able to understand that in our houses, in our lives. And what happens is we begin to complain. So what our shirt should say is this, understanding decreases complaining. Understanding decreases complaining. So there's a cumulative effect as we walk with patience in the early and spring rains, early and late rains. I don't know which season they are. I don't plant things, but you get it. And then our understanding decreases complaining. Here's what I mean by that. Understanding decreases complaining. What happens is we become complaining because we don't like what's going on. And here it is, parents. We try to make them think like a 50-year-old instead of understanding they're thinking like a 15-year-old. You got to understand, what were you like with your parents when you were 15, 14, 12, 13, whatever it is? Pick a number. You're probably getting the same grief that you were giving your parents, right? And so we've got to understand from their perspective. Now, quickly, parents, let me say, that doesn't mean you say yes all the time. You understand and you still say no. right? Because it's not the right wise decision. And kids, you understand the wisdom that they do have, wisdom that maybe you don't have. And so to be able to say, we're going to understand, let us see it from your perspective. Tell me from your perspective how that works. That how it has to happen in your marriage. Husbands think differently than wives. Wives think differently than husbands. That's got to happen in your workplace. It's got to happen in your employment. It's got to happen at your school. It's got to happen in your singlehood, whatever it is. We've got to see it from the other person's perspective. What is their vantage point? Parents, we see it from 50 years. They see it from 15 years. What does it look like from their perspective? See, this is a really interesting Greek word that I want to just explain to you here. It doesn't mean loud, bitter, complaining. So this isn't you go up to the complaint department, knock on the door and say, I'm sick of this and you da-da-da-da. It's not that. What this Greek word means is an unexpressed feeling of bitterness or the smothered resentment that may express itself in a groan or a sigh. It's the feeling of, I'm never going to get out of this. It's always going to be like this. It's not even worth saying anymore. I'm just going to be bitter on the inside about it. And James says, don't be complaining like that. So what happens is when we begin to be complaining people, it forms a habit. And I just ask you, brothers and sisters, as the word says, have you formed a habit of complaining? There is something to complain about everywhere you go. There's something to complain about. As I've said before, there's always ants at the picnic. And in Houston, there's always mosquitoes at the picnic too, okay? It's just how it goes. Don't get in a habit of complaining. Get in a habit of making it through the problem and being a joyful person. Now, how do you know if you're in a habit of complaining? Just ask somebody close to you. And if they pause, you're in a habit of complaining. Do I complain a lot? Well, and then don't start complaining, saying, well, I don't complain a lot. You're complaining about your complaining, right? Let that sigh of resentment get out. There's always something to complain about. Can I just tell you, let's just have a moment. Complaining about our kids. There are parents that you know, parents in our church, parents in our lives, whose children have gone on to heaven. They would love to spend too much money on their kids this week. They'd love to have a busy, full schedule. There's people that would love to have their mom or their dad at lunch today. And yet, oftentimes, as we're in the throes of it, we're complaining about it. And I just want to encourage you, savor these days. They passed quick. There's a song by Trace Adkins that I really like, country music song. You should listen to it later today, called I'm Gonna Miss This, You're Gonna Miss This. And he takes a teenage, his daughter is saying, oh, I want to be 18, right? Make my own decisions. And then the girl says, oh, I want to get married. And then she says, oh, I'm married. I want to have kids. And yeah, we all live on fast forward. You just want whatever the next stage is. Then you get there and you want to fast forward to the next thing. And then it says this in the song, just at the end of it, 5 years later. So now she's married. Now she's got the kids. Now she's graduated. Now she's making her own rules. Here's what it says. 5 years later, there's a plumber working on the water heater. The dog is barking. The phone is ringing. One kid's crying and one kid's screaming. And the mom keeps apologizing. And the plumber says, they don't bother me. I got two babies of my own. One's 36 and one's 23. And I know it's hard to believe, but you're going to miss this. You're going to want this back. You're going to wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times. Take a look around. You may not know it now, but you're going to miss this. Yes, you're going to miss this. You're going to miss this. Savor the days that God has given you and quit complaining and walk with God through what he gives you. Troubles, blessings, we all got them on this very same day. The third t-shirt that we're going to have to look at and see is this. It's found in James chapter 10 or chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. Brothers and sisters, again, the third time we've seen that. Take the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Again, fourth time we see it. See, we count as blessed those who have endured. You have seen and heard of Job's endurance. You ever heard of the patience of Job? That's where this verse is coming from. Job's endurance, and have seen the outcome that the Lord brought about. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. He'll meet us even in our trials and in our struggles. So here's our thing of the challenges that we face. And so here's our mom t-shirt. This one's going to be self-explanatory. Doesn't even need a lot of words, but here it is. Endurance, effort. Here's the shirt. Too true, isn't it? Mom's battery's on low. When mom's battery gets on low, she's going to childproof the house, and you better not try her, okay, is what's going to happen. So what we have here is that this shirt, instead of just battery low, it should say this: endurance and effort brings blessings. Endurance and effort brings blessings. And so here we have mom's low battery, but on mom's low battery, we're able to say, we're going to trust the Lord even in the midst of that low battery. He says, I want you to look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord and look at their example of suffering and patience. Life is a problem for everybody. There's different degrees for sure, but we all got our issues. We all got things going on. And so life is a challenge for all of us. And this is translated, this word patience is translated twice of endurance, because it's not patience with people. That's translated as patience. We've seen that four times. It's endurance and it's patience with problems. And don't you know that in life, you're going to have problems or patience with people you're going to need, and you're going to need patience with problems, because there's always problems. Doesn't matter how much money you got, problems. Got a lot, got a little, got in between. There's problems that happen. And so he brings out Job. Think about Job. Anybody with more problems than Job? Job suffered greatly, but he met with God and he received blessing. That's basically the book of Job. He suffers. He meets with God and doesn't take man's opinion. It's a big meeting with God. And then he receives blessing. But I want you to know, Job got a lot of blessing, but Job still had a lot of pain. He lost a lot of his kids. You can replace a car. You can't replace a child. So he got a whole lot of blessing in the end, of material stuff. But he still had the pain of knowing his kids' names and those that had gone on to be heaven. Remember, my grandmother used to say all the time, I'd run around her house and she'd say, Greg, quit running. I said, why? I'm not going to fall down. She said, we can get a new TV. We can't get a new you. I was like, well, that's sweet. You know, I mean, Job had pain and suffering and loss. But I want you to know, hear this, listen. We want the saints' testimony, but we don't want the saints' testing. You don't get the saints' testimony without the saints' testing. Testing creates the testimony as you walk with patience with God that he's in charge of the whole thing. Do you see it? So we have patience, we have lack of complaining, and we have endurance and effort that keeps us walking in the same direction, moving at the same time. Kelly and I, we go to a trainer each week for physical training to be able to do that. I know you were like, I was wondering how you got so muscular up there. You're just a huge, huge guy. So you can see, you know, how that all works. You know, I had this lady come up to me one time. She's like, I'm so glad you're little. After a message, I was like, where are we going with this? Tell me a little more. Why are we? So you're a little guy, and that makes it where people aren't intimidated by you, but you preach a big God. So you're a little guy with a big God. And I still like, I don't know if this is a compliment or not. I've been shoved in a lot of lockers for being a little guy. But just to try to live a long life, I try to keep physically active. That's what the Lord gave me. I'm going to try to take care of it, you know. So we do these things, did this thing just recently called a side plank is what it is, okay? It's the Greek word for torture, okay? It's what it is. You lay on the ground and you put your elbow down on the ground. I won't do it for you, but say this is the ground. My elbow's down here. My feet are here. And so nothing's touching but this. And you hold your hand up like this and you lay like that. And then you go, what we do, you probably do more, but we go about 40 seconds, maybe a minute, something like that. And so we're doing there. And then you switch sides. You'll be able to do that. So, you know, our trainer's a great guy. I love our trainer. He's actually in our church. He may be here today. And so, but they don't teach him how to count in trainer school, you know? So you get to like 7 and then they go 7 and I'm like 8 and they're like 4 and then I'm like, you know, but you just figure they know what they're doing. So I was on my side plank and on that time I could see the clock and I knew how many seconds we were going to go. It was great. And I watched and he got it right. And that was good. I thought, okay, that's good. That's good. And so then we're about to do the other side plank. And so I was sweating. So I took off my glasses because they were kind of slipping down my nose. And when I take off my glasses, I'm telling you right now, front row's blurry. I cannot see. Y'all are blurry people. If you want to leave now, this is your moment, okay? I won't see you. So, Cypress, Sienna, hold your seats, okay? To be able to be there. But I can't see right here, so I took off my glasses, and now I'm looking, and I can't see the clock. And I'm like, how's this going to go? Is he going to push further? Because, you know, their job's to push you. And so I'm looking, and this is what I thought. I can't see the clock. But I trust Alex, my trainer. I trust he'll hold me long enough for me to gain strength and to push further than I thought I could, but he won't hold me long enough that it'll break me and hurt me in some way. And I thought about that with the Lord when we go through trials. God's got a kingdom calendar for your life. He knows when the blessing's going to come. He knows the second of it. He knows when the trial's going to come. He knows the second of it. He knows how you're going to persevere in it. He knows when you're going to get that scripture, when you're going to get that message, when you're going to get that word of encouragement. And you just stay in that cumulative effect of walking with God over and over, showing up faithfully, enduring through the trial. And you wait because he's got his eye on the clock. And he knows exactly how long it will be good for you and your soul. But he won't break you. A bruised reed I will not break, and a smoldering wick I will not snuff out, it tells us in the Old Testament. Now, you'll never be tempted beyond what you're able, but you will be tried many times beyond what you think you're able. And the Lord will be with you every single moment. So I tell you this, hang on. Hang on. He's got the clock. You just keep doing your side plank. You'll make it. Interesting in this scripture. Mary has got Jesus, the Messiah. That's her first son. We're going to assume Jesus is saved, okay? We're going to assume that, okay? But then she's got James and others. And James, if you looked into John chapter 7, verse 5, it says that James and his brothers, they didn't believe in Christ. Until they saw the resurrected Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then when we look in Acts chapter 1 in the upper room, they're all in there together. So Mary at one point in her life has got the Messiah as a son, and then his brothers are not believers. Now, just by the way, this is a separation of thought between Protestantism and Catholicism. Catholicism says a perpetual virginity of Mary. Protestantism says, no, that these are the half-brothers of Jesus. Okay. So here we have, in this moment, James, though, is going to come to Christ. Here's what I want you to know. Mama, don't quit praying. Mama, don't quit praying. Dad, don't quit praying for that prodigal. Grandparent, don't quit praying for that prodigal. Don't quit praying for that lost coworker. Don't quit praying. You keep at it. Hang on. Endurance and effort brings blessing. And you keep praying for that person. Mama, in particular, you don't get worn out. I know your battery's down every day, but Jesus has got a battery for you. Take my yoke upon you, for my load is easy and my burden is light, and you will find refreshment for your soul, Matthew chapter 12. And so here we have this here. Now, let me show you a quote, and we're going to jump to our next point. A quote by Teddy Roosevelt, President Roosevelt. This is what he said about moms. I want you to feel the strength, moms. Here, ladies, I want you to feel the strength. Whatever kind of mom you are, spiritual mother, biological mother, all whole list of mothers, stepmom, adoptive mom, foster mom, all those. When all is said, it's the mother and the mother only who is the better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation. is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she would only realize it, a more honorable and as well as more important position than any man in it. The mother is the one supreme asset of all national life. This is the president saying this. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist. Never say, I'm just a mom. Power. Ladies, as well, spiritual moms, stepmoms, adoptive moms, foster moms, school administrators, teachers, team mom. It doesn't matter. Fill it all in, ladies. God's put something in you that we need of a nurturing that changes hearts and souls and lives that makes you so valuable for society. So when your battery gets low, please don't run out. We need you. It's worth hanging on. Our fourth and final t-shirt is in verse 12. Look at verse 12. Above all, he's wrapping it up. My brothers and sisters, fourth time we've seen that. Don't swear either by heaven or earth with any other oath, but let your yes be yes. This is Matthew 5, verse 37. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you won't fall under judgment. Here's what he is saying. He's saying that you got to be able to say what you really mean. So here's our last shirt. You ready? Here's our final mom shirt from the mom closet that we have here. And here it is. Best job ever. Hashtag mama life. Best job ever. Hashtag mama life. Here's what the back of this shirt would say. Speak the truth from the heart. James says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. See, what had happened in their society is there were so many oaths taken, so many promises given that it didn't mean anything anymore. Oh, I swear by this. Oh, I swear by that. Oh, he says, look, if you're a believer in Christ, you should be a person of integrity. So let your yes be yes and let your no be no. Speak the truth from the heart. No family can be built on lies. Kids, don't lie to your parents. You're going to find you're in more trouble for the lie than you probably were for the infraction. And it takes one lie to cover up for another lie, to cover up for another lie, to cover up for another lie. And pretty soon you're in a web of lies and it's going to come down like a house of cards. And so don't lie to your parents. And all of us, adult or kid alike, don't lie. It's not the right thing. We know that. Part of the Ten Commandments either. Instead, build our families on truth. Build our relationships on truth. Make peace and convey love. Whenever you have the opportunity to convey that love, here's what I want you to do this week. Tell somebody you know. Tell them how much you think of them. How much you love them. Tell them how great they are. Tell them how much you appreciate them. On this day, particularly with moms, of course, but just with people in general. Here's what I've found in years of life. No one ever refuses encouragement. We all receive it. We're all like, oh, stop it, stop it, stop it. We all need it, don't we? Encourage people. Say what you mean and mean what you say. And speak the truth into people's lives. It could be hard truth, of course. That's a way to show love as well. But let them know how important they are to you and how much you love them. My wife, my mom are here in this service. I love you. You're important to me. You're amazing. Thank you. To be able to celebrate the things that we celebrate by saying the words that mean so much for us to hear. If you're not good with words and you're a little bit quieter, I'm going to challenge you. You need to get good with these words. Your people are waiting on you to share your heart. If you're good with words and you say it too much where it doesn't mean anything anymore, be even more sincere and even more specific and let that get to the depths of what's happening in your heart. So here's our shirts. We got here, thou shalt not try me. But oh, let's put a little patience on that and see where we get. Let's then go and let's say I've childproofed the house. But they still keep getting in. Let's take a little understanding and understand that kids are messy and things are a challenge and they're going to keep you busy. Let's look at the mom battery. It's on E oftentimes. Get some self-care, right? Get some rest for yourself as well. You got to take care of yourself before you take care of others. Well, with this one here, let's take this one and let's know that endurance and effort is worth it and blessings will come. And then let's say what we mean and mean what we say. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. And realize, best job ever, hashtag mama life. And that can go for all different kinds of moms. Lastly, as we close, do you know the history of Mother's Day? It's a great history. There was a lady named Miss Jarvis. She was never married. And her mom passed away, and the memorial service was May 10th, 1908. And her mom's favorite flower was a white carnation. And so she brought white carnations and handed them out to everybody that was there and spoke highly about her mom, what an influence she had in her life. And then Miss Jarvis said, you know what? We need to take this even further in the honor and the memory of her mom. She then began to kind of politic around the country to create a Mother's Day, that we would have one day that we would celebrate Mother's Day, because we have Kids Day. You know when Kids Day is, right? Every day that ends with day, okay, is Kids Day. Every other day. Mother's Day, we get one, right? And so then finally, Woodrow Wilson, I put it at the bottom of your listening guide so you'd have the history to take home with you. On May 9th, 1914, an act of Congress, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. He established the day as a time for, listen, say what you mean and mean what you say, public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country. So I say to you, as the baby cries to end the Mother's Day message, couldn't have planned it any better. Happy Mother's Day. For however you as a mom influence other people, biological or not, doesn't matter. However you influence, we are grateful for you ladies and the ways you do it. And if you haven't had a good experience, you've got some hurts, I got something for you. Every day is eternal Father's Day. And you can turn to the Father in heaven with any hurt, any pain, at any moment, receive salvation in Jesus, receive comfort in Jesus, receive guidance and correction in Jesus. It's always the eternal Father's Day. Turn to him on this Mother's Day. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We're grateful for the ladies that mean so much, Lord. You've wired them so special, Father. So for all kinds of moms, we celebrate. We come to you, Father, to place our trust in you. We love you. We thank you. And we trust you. May we wear the t-shirt that says Jesus across the front of it. And that will take care of everything else. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.